Good day, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. I hope you're doing well today and that you are looking up to the Lord and that you will look to His Word today. Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. We want to continue our study there in the chapter that speaks of Jesus' selfless emptying, a passage known as the kenosis or emptying passage. So let's pray together and ask God to open our hearts to His Word today. Father, thank You for this beautiful day. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for caring for us. We pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. We pray that we will rejoice in the Lord always, that we will let our moderation be known to all men because the Lord is at hand. So speak to us through Your Word, encourage our hearts, and strengthen us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin reading again in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Paul is giving here the supreme example of humility and of selfless service, and that example is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is appealing to the Philippians to fulfill his joy by being unified, by having unity, and not doing anything through strife or conceit, but in lowliness, esteeming others. And then he says, let this mind be in you. Here is the example. Here is the primary example. Here is the best example of this, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to think this way. Let this mind be in you. Have this frame of reference, this way of thinking. And the example of Jesus is, first of all, showing his glory, his pre-incarnate glory. It says in verse 6, who being in the form of God, Jesus existed as God. His very essence is God. His existence was and is and will be God. He is equal to God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And all of that glory he had in eternity past. But he came into our space-time history. He stepped into our human clothes, we might say. He came into our world as a man, as a human being. Well, how did he do that? Notice the last part of verse 6. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He didn't grasp hold of the expressions of deity. Instead, he was willing to empty himself of those expressions and come into our world. As we closed yesterday, we were talking about Jesus dying on a cross made out of trees that he created. The nails in his hands made from iron that came from the earth that he had created. All of these things, and yet he submitted to it. He was humble and he died. What an amazing picture of selfless emptying. He emptied himself of the expressions of deity. And he divested himself of these glorious expressions. He did not lose, keep this in mind, he did not lose the wonderful possession of deity. He was and will always be God, but he laid aside expressions of deity and of the glory of the Godhead. He laid aside his heavenly privileges and reputation. One Bible scholar, Bishop Lightfoot, said this: he emptied, stripped himself of the insignia of majesty. Yes, he did. The Apostle Paul speaks to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a wonderful text here in verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Ponder that for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the riches and glory and majesty of heaven, laid that aside and came into our world, lived as a poor man, died on a cruel cross as an innocent man, but dying there for our sins so that we could be spiritually rich, so that we could be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, that we could be redeemed, forgiven, have new life in the Lord Jesus, all because of his selfless emptying. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Jesus said to his disciples, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Think of that. He who created the sun, moon, and stars, the trees, and the birds themselves. And he says, "I have no place to put my head." For our sakes, he emptied himself of the glories of the manifestations of deity and took on such humility and poverty that we could be made rich. Praise the Lord for Jesus' selfless emptying. No wonder the Apostle Paul could use this as the supreme example of humility. Is there any better example? The Lord Jesus Christ did this for us. He laid aside kingly garments showing his deity and put on servant's clothes. And that's the next thing that we see in verse 7b. He says that the Lord Jesus not only emptied himself, he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He came in humble servitude, serving. We tend to think that the way to greatness is by exerting ourselves and by stepping on others to get to the top. We are taught to focus so much on self. Well, what Jesus did was he focused on serving. He took on the form of a servant, a servant's essential character. That's what Jesus had. And let's look at a couple places in the Gospels to illustrate this. John chapter 13, notice verse 12. "And when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Jesus performed the duties of a common household servant. He washed the disciples' dirty feet. And then he said, "Do you know what I've done to you? Do you realize what you just saw?" And Jesus then says in John 13:13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I remember many years ago as a teenager, I was in the hallway of our church, and a prominent lady in the church came into the hall, and she was speaking to the pastor, and I don't know the subject. I don't know what they were talking about. I just happened to be in sight and hearing of the conversation. But I do remember one thing that was said, and most of all, I remember the attitude. It seems as though something was suggested to be done, and this individual, this lady, said, "Well, if you think I'm going to do that, you have another thing coming." And I don't know what all they were talking about, but I remember that attitude, and I was sort of taken by it. You know, I think it's very easy for any of us to have that attitude, whether we're a prominent woman in the church or not. It's very easy to have an attitude. "You think I'm going to do that? You're nuts. You're crazy. I would never lower myself to do that kind of service or to do that thing." You know, may God help us to be like Jesus. Jesus could have said that. He could have said, "Peter, John, come here, wash my feet. This is your job. I'm the teacher. You're the disciple. Come here, take care. Andrew, come on, what's wrong with you guys? Come over here, wash my feet." He didn't do that. He took the towel. He got down where their feet were, and he washed them. And then he said, "Here's the lesson. I set an example for you. I'm the teacher. I'm the Lord. But I've washed these feet. And I want you to be servants like this. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I want you to learn to serve me with humble service, humble servitude." Isn't that powerful? And oh, does it ever go against the grain of our hearts and our thoughts? When it comes to serving the Lord, it's very easy for us to say, "Here am I, Lord, send someone else. Here am I, Lord, I'm just never going to move from my comfort zone to go serve you. Here am I, Lord, send my sister. Here am I, Lord, send my brother. Here am I, Lord, send anyone, but just don't send me." May God help us not to have that kind of attitude, but to say, "The Lord Jesus has called me to serve him. I will serve him humbly and with a grateful, grateful heart." So we see here his humble servitude and that he limited himself to a human body. Philippians 2:7, the last part, coming in the likeness of men. The God of eternity came to our time in a human body. Praise the Lord. What an example. Well, I want us to serve today believers in two countries. The country of Libya in North Africa. It's ranked 22nd on the persecution list. It has a population of about 6 million people. And then Mali, a country in West Africa, and it has a population of about 16 million people. And Christians there are about 1%. So let's go to prayer for the believers in these two dangerous countries. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love and grace to us. We are amazed at the example of Jesus, who came to this earth and washed the disciples' feet. But Lord, that was nothing compared to what he would do shortly after he washed their feet. He went to the cross to wash away their sins and our sins. And we praise you that the Lord Jesus served us in this way. And our Father, we come to you now on behalf of believers in Libya, North Africa, in Mali, and Western Africa. We ask, dear Father, that you would encourage them, strengthen them by your word, supply scriptures to them. Somehow, Lord, provide that they can hear a shortwave radio broadcast of the gospel and of Christian teaching and biblical truth. We pray that you will make them strong witnesses, that they will be faithful, Lord, even if they face persecution, and that they will witness for the name of Christ, that the church will grow there. And our Father, we come and we ask for an end of this pandemic. We ask that you would bring healing to sickened bodies. And Lord, we ask even more for healing to sickened souls. We pray for the salvation of sinners. We pray for the revival of your people, that your people would turn to you with all their hearts and seek you diligently. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Thank you that you are alive and well. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful and blessed name. Amen. God bless you, friend. Thank you for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow, that God's love, light, and life will shine in. God bless you.